and welcome to tonight's webinar. Thanks very much for joining us. This is the Top Practices Question and Answers session. I was thinking about doing this at the end of the year, and I wanted to just go ahead and make what is basically a coaching session available to everybody that is, you know, on the top practices list, that we have the ability to communicate with you and to let you know, you know, that we're able to do something like this. So I'd just like to say welcome, first of all, to everyone that's on the call tonight. I hope you brought some questions with you. We're going to have several points this evening at which we'll ask you to share your question with us. And you don't have to tell us who you are unless you want to, because here's the thing. I want you to feel comfortable in doing it. And I don't want you to feel like, oh, I don't want to identify myself. That does sometimes happen with people. So if you want to identify yourself, that's fine. If you don't and you have a question, then, you know, it's okay. Go ahead and ask the question. We're happy to field it and answer it. And I want to thank those of you that are on the line tonight that I can see have joined us, that are that have already sent in some questions. You know, what I did was I took those and I boiled them down to and one of them is actually a specific question that I got from a doctor that we're going to share and spend some time on, because it kind of encapsulates about 20 different questions that were asked by folks, and it'll lead us into some content that I think will be useful. So we're going to move forward in that way. When it does come time for me to ask you if you have questions, if you look at the little control panel that you have, you can see the little hand, and if you click on that hand, don't do it, but if you click on that hand, I will see that, and it's the equivalent of being in a room and having you raise your hand, and at the appropriate time, what I will do is I will unmute your phone. So please, if you do raise your hand, and you're going to have your phone unmuted so you can speak to us and ask your question, please don't have, you know, barking dogs or monkeys or anything else. Lots of people talking, dishes being smashed around and crashed around, bathroom sounds, anything you can think of, please don't have that, but be in a space that is quiet and something that we can work with. I would be grateful if that's the case. Now, with me tonight are two other presenters that are going to be fielding some questions as well. And I asked them to be on the call because they're practice management experts. And the first is Dr. Peter Wishney. Hi, Peter. Welcome to the call. Hi, good to have you
here. Good. Same here.
And Dr. Wishney is a a podiatrist. He practices in Piscataway, New Jersey. And I've often said, you know, in my opinion, he runs, if not the best managed practice in the country, he certainly runs one of the top practices in the country. He's been the author of the Ultimate Podiatry Practice Management Survival Guide with me, and has been helping many of our top practices doctors for a number of years through our courses with practice management, and has done a fantastic job. So, Peter, I'm delighted to have you with me on the call tonight. And also is Tina Del Buono. And Tina lives in Sonoma, and I'm always super jealous of that. So I go out and visit her there because I really want to go visit the wineries with her and her husband, Dr. John Hollander, who is a podiatrist. And Tina's been running John's practice brilliantly for a number of years, and for a number of years she's been consulting and working with practices around the country that are struggling and really whipping them into shape, just like she did her husband's practice. And she's been working with a lot of top practices members as well. And both Tina and Peter are really, I believe, the go-to people for practice management. And that's why they're on the call with me tonight. So, Tina, I want to say welcome to you as well.
Good evening, Rem. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. So my goal is to try to do what I can to keep us right on track and end in about an hour. So I'm going to just jump right into it and say, as I said, welcome. This is my favorite quote by Eric Hoffer. And in times of change, the learners will inherit the earth, while the knowers remain beautifully prepared for a world that no longer exists. So here's what I would ask of you tonight. As you hear the content, as you hear what we're sharing with people, you know, accept it, I think, for what it is, and try not to, if you hear yourself saying, oh, we tried that, it didn't work, or or well, geez, that would never work in my particular area. Just for tonight, tomorrow you can make any decision you want to about anything that we might suggest. But everything that we're going to tell you is based on experience and what we've seen working with other people. So just your mind's like a parachute. It only works if it's open. So have an open mind tonight. Certainly doesn't mean you can't, you know, ask questions and pry, or not pry, probe and try to get what you need. But do the judging tomorrow, and that will help you possibly see something that's really what you should be looking for. And, you know, our goal is that you're number one in your market. And I've been talking about this for a while, but let me be really clear about what I think that that means. And to be number one in your market, I believe, first, it means you're happy. You know, you should be enjoying the practice of podiatry. Any professional that has a practice should be enjoying it. It shouldn't be a chore. It shouldn't be something that has become unpleasant or frustrating or really, really, not that we all run businesses, but ultimately you didn't do all this and make all the sacrifice to be miserable. So you should be happy. We think you're number one in your market if you have little or no stress. And I've met an awful lot of doctors that were very stressed out. And when they started to really begin to manage and market their practices appropriately, which are really your key differentiators in your market, that stress starts to really drop and can go down to what is basically an acceptable level. You're never at a no-stress situation. That's dead. But beyond that, you have some stress in life, and you'll have a little. Your staff is proud to work with you and each other. That for many people, that's the case. For others, they're dealing with an awful lot of staff drama all the time. Turnover, upset people, all kinds of problems. We think you're number one in your market if your patients think you're the best thing that ever happened to them. You know, and most doctors, when I say this, say, well, I got that going for me, because the reason is that you've actually been trained to do that. That is what you do. And so you're good at that. All the rest of it, nobody told you that you were going to be an accidental entrepreneur when you became a podiatrist. And they didn't teach you in school to do that either. You're number one in your market if your patients tell everyone just how great you are. You're number one in your market if you're known and respected in your community for many reasons. As I get older, this kind of activity, giving back, becomes more important. And you can only do it if you've got a business that is run well. Otherwise, your nights and your weekends aren't yours, and you can't help or do anything in your community or for other people. You're number one in your market if your phone is ringing off the hook with new patients. That's really at the center of the mission of top practices. You're number one in your market if you're the dominant practice in your market on Google search results. You're number one in your market if your social media is overwhelming to every other practice in your market. And you're number one in your market if you wake up in the morning excited to go to work every day. And that is something that if you've lost or you haven't thought about for a while, you need to get back. There's no point in spending all of this time in a state of frustration. But the number one thing that I've seen that people care about, and it's the number one thing that helps me when I think about what does it mean to be number one in your market. To be number one in your market is to be able to make the income that you want, to be able to provide for the emotional and the financial stability and security of your loved ones. At the end of the day, that is the thing that we all hold the dearest and we care about the most. So our goal in everything that we do is to make sure that you're number one in your market, and that's the purpose of tonight. And again, I'm your host. My name is Rem Jackson. I'm the CEO and the founder of Top Practices. I'm also a proud fellow of the AAPPM. With us is Dr. Peter Wishney, as I said before. He works with you know, many of our doctors in the courses and the things that we've done, and is in private practice now, and you can find Peter's website at www.stopfootpainfast.com. And Tina Del Buono, and Tina has her own website for her practice management efforts, and you can find it right there at gotoppm.com. Did I get that right, Tina?
You did.
Okay, all right, good. I just want to make sure, because, you know, one little typo and nobody can find your website. So that's who's on the phone with you folks tonight. And I want to jump now right into the questions. I got this question last week, actually, and here, I'll read it. I've been in practice going on 14 years, and the past 2 years, December through February, my practice gets so slow because of bad weather and snowbirds, the snowbirds leave. This is a person who's up in a northern state. I want to get a younger population into my practice to avoid this problem. I have a website. I have a Facebook page. My question is, what's the best way to market my practice to the younger population to avoid this huge loss of business in the winter? So, great question, first of all. That's an absolutely outstanding question. Now, let's just address one thing first with this question, and that is, if there's nothing that, unfortunately, there's nothing that can be done about bad weather. I mean, we had one of the worst winters last year that I can remember, and but just about everywhere. Not everywhere, but just about everywhere. So there's nothing that can be done about bad weather when it's happening. Just talked to a doctor today, you know, and last February we shut down for, I think, 5 days. Now, if a big storm is coming, one thing I had, a thought that I had was, can your staff reach out to patients in the schedule that might be affected and get them in early? Actually try to proactively bring them in. Is it possible to do that while the weather's still good? Or could you possibly rebook them for the event? Hey, by the way, Tina or Peter, if either of you have my voice coming out through speakers?
Oh, no, not through the speakers, no.
Not through the speakers?
No.
Yeah.
Mine's coming out through my computer, so it would be the speaker built in.
Yeah, you're getting some reverberation there. So I'm going to just mute that for a minute, Tina, and see if that makes a difference. I'll come back then. And see if that makes a difference with my voice, because I can hear it bouncing back just a bit. And of course you can rebook them for after the event, and you could do that proactively early. And it would need to be for, but the thing about that is have to be a real for sure storm thing, I think. And then, your staff can be put on. Here's the other thing I wanted to just suggest is that, so there's snow days, you're going to have these problems. You know, there could be like particular projects, like snow day projects that you've agreed can be done during downtimes. And actually that's something that can be done all the time, is to have that kind of particular work that when we're, you know, there might be a lag or a problem, that you could have that so the staff could actually do it. And Tina and Peter, I wanted to kind of get your, have you weigh in on this too.
Okay. Well, I'm the one between me and Tina. I'm the one living up north here, so I have more of that problem than I guess Tina will. It's snow, and I learned many times that my month of February can be really bad. So I try to find some time to go away around February. We always recover because when it snows, these people are not going to come in. If it's really bad and it's a state of an emergency, I'm not going in. I'm not going to have my staff go in. And we will, you know, we have a staff member who can go into the computer from home and reschedule these patients. So our schedule is full when we get back, when the snow stops or when we get back into the office. You will get a hit. The first quarters are not always very good. But then it gets better. The second quarter is just amazing because of that. Regarding projects, because that person will be home and most people will be home, we do recalls. That's one project people can do, is recall patients haven't been in for a while. And we have a lot of staff. So let's say if it's like a slow day, but it's not really bad, and we get in, but it's just slow because people are canceling. That's what we do. We call all the patients who need to pick up their orthotics issues. We call patients haven't been in within the last 8 months to a year. We always have that list going. It's a great time for training as well. And the question that the person has written was talking about market to a younger population. Well, if it's really bad weather, they're not coming in either. I will tell you who will come in are your emergencies. But again, in a state of an emergency where that's happened several times last year, you're not allowed out. You're not allowed out on the streets. You're not allowed to drive. And say New Jersey, you could get a ticket if you were driving in a state of emergency. So it is what it is. You can't control things that you can't control. But what you can't control is that your schedule is packed when you get back.
Great. Thank you. Now, I'm going to unmute you here, Tina. And, you know, I will say that when we were earlier on, we weren't having this problem with this feedback, which I'm hearing again because your speakers are playing. So I'm going to ask you to go ahead and answer this part of the question. And then when we do, I want you, if you wouldn't mind, would you call back in on using a phone line? And then that'll solve our problem. So but go ahead right now.
We do have a list in our office that we update periodically of special projects that need to be done. And we're having some pretty heavy rains out here, which we're thankful for. And so we've had many patients who don't want to go out and drive. Well, they've got this list of things like what cupboards need to be emptied and all wiped out and restocked, going through maybe old things that are in the cupboards that doctors brought back from different programs that we don't use anymore, and finding places that we can donate it to. So I found that having an ongoing list that the staff can work from when we're slow, that this really, it works and it keeps the office clean and neat, and they enjoy doing other things also.
Thanks, Tina. So would you do me a favor with that now change and go onto the phone thing. I'm going to mute you and then I'll see you come back. I'll take care of it. Thank you. Right now, I want to jump into the second part of the question, though. She says, I want to, you know, because of the snowbirds are gone, I want to get a younger population into my practice to avoid this. I think one thing is we want to get a younger population into the practice for lots of reasons, not just to avoid that problem. And then she says, I have a website and a Facebook page. What's the best way to market my practice to this younger population to avoid this huge loss of business in winter? And this is perfect. So I know who this doctor is, and again, I won't identify her, but them. I won't identify her. But I did go ahead and research her Facebook page and her website. And so here is some let me see where'd that go. Where did her list go? She'll have to. Here it is. I somehow got out of whack, and I'll come back. So here's where she ended up with when I looked at this. Now, this is not a criticism. This is an observation. But when I looked at her Facebook page, and yes, she's got a Facebook page for the practice, but what I found was that there were two posts on that page on Thanksgiving in 2014. There was one post in November, which was an ad for shoes, and in October was also an ad for shoes. And then the post that I went back, the next post I could find was a post in May saying that they would be closed for a holiday. And then we go back to 2013 post saying that they would be closed for Thanksgiving. So the first thing I wanted to point out is that, then this is so, thank you so much for this, because yes, there is a Facebook page, but in reality, we're not using that Facebook page. That's the first thing I want to point out, and then we're not using it in any way to try to find a larger group of people, the demographic that you're particularly looking for. The other thing about her website, it's very good looking website, nice, and you know, sometimes you look at practices websites and they look like they've been done by somebody's by the boyfriend of your daughter or by you, and that's not the case at all. It's a professionally produced, good looking website. But when I look at that website and I can look at the Facebook post and think, I wonder how long it has been since there has been any content that's been added to that website. And so there's no video on the website that I could see now that might have been there. I didn't do an exhaustive search. No real way to do any kind of interaction. There's no blog or content that's being put on a regular basis. And as I said, most likely, probably no new content. And so I'm going to bump back here and say that, yes, we have a Facebook page and we have a website, but it's really important to use those tools. And there are many other tools that we can use. So let's now, and I apologize for the sequencing of these. I somehow messed that up. So patients can only come from to her practice now. If we're going to look for that younger, let's just use that as a great example. You could say, I want to get more heel pain patients. I want to see more onychomycosis. I want to see more ingrown toenails. Whatever your particular interest is, we're just going to use it now, and we're going to talk about the younger patients. So patients can only ever come to you from four places. There are no other ways for patients to come to your practice. They are the internet, and all of the various components that is now called the internet. That would basically be local search. It'd be your website, your blog, and any of the social media monsters that are out there. And we'll talk about those, which are the ones that are relevant and matter. Patients can come to you from referral sources, medical and non-medical referral sources. Patients can come to you from your own list, your own database. That's the people that know you, like you, and trust you. And then, of course, they can come from the community for any kind of activity that you might have out into the community with advertising or with any kind of community outreach at all. Those are the only four places that patients can come to you from. And there are only two things you ever want to have happen when you're marketing anything at all, not just a podiatry practice. And the first one is you want the phone to ring. You know, these are the offers that we have. We want the phone to ring. So if you're having these problems, if this sounds at all familiar to you, then call this number to make an appointment, and we'll see you. And the second thing we want to do is we want to be able to capture what we will call a lead, which is a future phone ring. So in other words, we want to make an offer. We'll talk about this later. Of some kind, something of high perceived value to people, while you're out there marketing, you know, you either call us or request a copy of our book or our information, and so that we can trade with them their contact information for the answers to their questions that are bothering them. That then allows them to go into your database so that we can then begin to market to them. But when we market to them, remember, the worst thing we can be is boring. And the best way to be boring is to talk about yourself and not about them, their problems, their worries, or their concerns. So if there's only four places that patients can come to you, then that's why we use the four pillars of marketing here at Top Practices, and that's internet or web-based marketing, shoe leather or referral marketing, internal or database marketing, and then external marketing out inside the community. So that's where we're going to want to talk. And again, as I said, I reviewed and went through where she's at. So she has, now I haven't consulted with her, and I'm not sure how she's doing with making visits to, you know, having the practice have a good outreach program to their medical or non-medical referral sources. Don't know how they're communicating to the patient base or what they're doing out in the community, but I can see what they're doing on the internet. And this is a great opportunity for this particular practice. All right. So now let's go take a look. I didn't want to show her Facebook page because, again, it's very nice, but it's, as I said, you saw the level of activity. So today, just for kicks, Peter, I went to your Facebook page just today, and here it is. So there's a picture of Peter once again, and this is his Family Foot and Ankle Specialists online today. And if you'll notice, as of the time that I did this, the most recent post that he's had was yesterday. And now here's what he's showing, though. So take a look at this. He's got his holiday party. So that's one of his doctors. The woman on the left holding the baby is one of his doctors. I think it's another doctor on the right. These are staff members. His marketer's up on the right with another staff member. So we've got, you know what? Today we're letting everybody know we had a good day and we had a good time at the party. How was the party, Peter?
It was good. Very good.
Yeah, right. So we're now. This is what he talked about today. Now, if you take a look here, though, this is now you'll see this is the same picture moving down a little bit more. Okay, so that's his main page. There's his party. And then that, what's the next thing? Well, here's December 4th, and he's – let me back up here because it's not December 4th. December 8th, they're talking about their Pacers Princeton store. They joined the fun at the grand opening of the Pacers Princeton store. So this is some kind of a sports store there, Peter?
Yeah, it's a running shoe store, yep.
Yeah, and so your doctor, Dr. Schaefer, was there. There was a grand opening, and you're part of it, and now you're helping get the word out and let people know about the store, which can become a great referral source for you, and you were part of it, right?
Correct, yep.
That's great. Okay, then on December 4th, you turn 25. Your practice is 25 years old, and you're just engaging people and letting people know that. You know, share your experiences, share your story. So people are now here. They are. People are just popping in and saying wonderful things about you on your Facebook page. Again, just looking at Facebook page on December 2nd, you are welcome. This is that. Let's see. Located not far from our. Is this the thing you were talking about? The grand opening.
Yes.
Yeah. So some Olympian showed up, right?
At the Pacers place. Yeah. They had a run. and Dr. Schaefer ran with them.
That's great. And this woman is a an Olympian who is, let's see, nationally ranked New Jersey, New York track club. So there we go. We're talking about that, right? Notice, by the way, we haven't yet really talked about shoes or bunions or any of that stuff. We're just engaging the community in ways that are interesting. Now, you've got your, if we scroll down a little bit, December 1st, that is one of your doctors. And I'm not sure what that post is because I cut it off whenever I took the screenshot. But she's now, she is in this particular post. You might remember, Peter, or you may not, but
yeah, no,
now
she
is talking about a concern.
Podiatry, yes. Talking
about, yeah, that is
I
about
don't know
podiatry.
Which problem. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, now, yeah, right. So now this is a foot problem.
Oh, I saw
so
about
instead
like,
of like
winter feet, winterizing your feet. Yep.
Okay, there you go. So winterizing your feet. So it's not all community outreach and stuff. Man, you know, now we have content related to that. And then November 20th, I feel awesome. A patient describes how our painless, effective Microvast treatments got him back to walking without pain. That's actually a video that people can watch. And then down below, you're actually introducing your new doctor down there. And so, you know, so now what I wanted to show there was this is a practice that's using their Facebook page. And you have, of course, we saw up at the top of that, you have a marketer that is responsible for that. You're not actually doing this yourself, right, Peter?
No, I'm not doing that at all. Nope.
Right. And Tina, I didn't go and grab your Facebook page. I just grabbed Peter's. But the one thing that, you know, again, with you, I mean, you have your staff. You guys are engaged in lots of activities like this all the time on your social media, right?
That's correct. And in fact, our staff actually do our social media along with myself. And we have a calendar, and they each have days that they do postings, and some are the same as Dr. Wishney's, where they're related to foot issues, and right now we're doing a lot of different types of community things, and then we like to post fun pictures in the office, and we get, you know, a lot of our patients who really engage in it. Right now what we're doing is a contest. If you send us your favorite Christmas ornament or your tree or whatever, then we're going to give away a $25 Visa card, you know, for the best decorations that our Santa's elves pick. So we engage and do online contests also with ours.
That's great. Oops, I hit the there. Excuse me. Okay, so now this is also, remember she said I've got a website, and she has a great website, not a great website, she has an attractive website, but it needs functionality. It needs interaction. So just take a look at Peter's website here. And this is a, you know, and you can go to stopfootpainfast.com yourself and take a look at it. But right off the bat, we've got an interactive video. You turn that on. It's a walk through the office, and people are telling you what's going to happen here. Talk to a doctor today. Get out of pain today. Here are the main categories: foot and ankle injuries, bunions, hammer toes, heel pain, insurance questions answered. Just on and on and on. And in the content down below, we have the power to save your feet and end foot pain for good. So you'll see that what Peter does here is he's focusing on the kinds of things that he wants to see. So if I want to see a demographic that is younger, and I want to see, say, runners or athletes or people like that, then we're going to put that kind of content on your website. We're going to blog about that kind of content on your blog, which is part of your website. It's going to be inside your messaging to your social media. It's going to be in every part of what you do. So when you look at Peter again, get out of pain today, here's how to contact us right here, send. Get a copy of our book, Stop Foot Pain Fast, A User's Guide to Foot and Ankle Health. And now, as you'll see, on this is still his homepage. I had to take multiple screenshots of it. Running and sports injuries, right at the beginning of his stuff. Heel pain, right at the beginning. Bunions, hammer toes, foot and ankle injuries. I mean, the content here is really, really extensive. And if you look to the right there, you'll see the blog. What is peroneal tendon injury? And their blogs are 11:22, 11:20, 11:20, 11:19, 11:18. This practice is putting content online regularly. Frequently asked questions being added all the time. And I'm still just going down on their really unbelievable homepage, all about shoes, diabetic foot care, skin and nail problems, insurance benefits guide, meet our team, community outreach things we do. There's a library of more information that they have in here. and then all of their social media is right down below. So that is how you have a website that is something that is really, really used. So first thing is, and we'll come back in a minute to what other kinds of tools could you be using online to engage with people in this age. And again, think about those runners. So not only is Peter and his practice marketing through the website and through blogs and through, and you'll find out newsletters and everything to his patient base, but they're also out in the community right there with athletes, with runners, trying to pull that younger crowd in, that healthy, active crowd. So I hope that is helpful to that particular question that was asked as a place to start. So, and I guess I want to say, don't think about this as I need to replace my snowbirds in the winter, so how can I bring them in? Because the answer is you actually can't unless you've begun developing and working that relationship with them all year round and made that part of a relationship that you have. And I'm going to come back to this point in a little bit, but the number one asset in your practice, other than yourself and your well-trained staff, is your list. So I'm going to keep trying not to hit that button. Sorry about that. Now, I do want to get to questions, and I see a few hands are raised. So I will use first names because you need to know that I actually am connecting with you. So Shashank, I'm going to unmute your line. Well, let's see. You seem to be muted. So you were just sent an audio pin by me to see if that can get your thing working. So I'll try one more time and see if that worked. Nope. Okay. And the other hand's dropped, so they realize, oops, I didn't want to actually raise my hand there. So, okay. Does anybody have any questions right now? The way to do that, that you'd like to ask us, because we're going to move on to another submitted question in a minute, but is there a question that you would like to ask Peter, myself, or Tina right now? All right, we're going to try again because your hand's back up, Shank, and it still isn't working. So I'm going to come back to you and see if that, because you have a, I can tell from your icon that your phone's not working. So we'll try to figure that out. All right, now we're going to move on to the next question then, because I don't see anything else at the moment. Here's another one. Peter and Tina, I want you guys to really field this one, but I'll read it. I'm just so busy getting through the day that I don't have time to do anything other than keep up. I'm frustrated with my staff. I'm frustrated with what I'm paying myself, and my personal life is suffering because I bring home work home almost every night and on weekends. Now, they ask this question, what's the most important thing I can do to get things back under control? So I'm going to throw that to you first, Peter, and then you guys and Tina, I want to get your input on this as well.
Okay, so I always say in order to speed up, you need to slow down. When things are chaotic, you need to put things back into order. And how do you do that is the best way, and it's going to sound strange, but is to have a rainmaker day. And that means a day where you are totally off seeing patients. Now, for some people, that could be two half days or it could be one full day. During that day, you are putting things into place, putting systems in place, your protocols. Use it to train staff, individually or in groups. You might even have to take a couple of days off. I did that already this year. New staff, I needed to get everyone on the same page to follow our mission statement, to be ethical with our mission statement. I mean, to follow through and not just say we have one. And that is having a two-day training, shut the office. It will bring back the returns on it is just tremendous. So we have the mentality as business owners / doctors that if I take time off, I will lose money. Mm-hmm. Again, in order to speed up, you need to slow down. In order to be more efficient, in order to make more money, believe it or not, you need to take time to develop your practice, to work on the practice, not in it. And that's, to me, is just crucial. And I know that I make more money by working on that practice, not in it. Just think about it. When you are busy, you're seeing lots of patients. I guarantee that you're running behind. You're not delivering services that you promised. You're not filling out paperwork. on time for the patients, they will lose trust, they will stop referring other people, and then you will have time to slow down, okay, because you're not providing the best service possible. So again, it's the time you need to make things rain, make things happen, and put your systems and protocols in place.
Thanks, Peter. Tina?
Well, I agree with Dr. Wishney 100%. Also, I would ask this doctor to make a doctor don't list. What are the things that the doctor should not be doing, that he is doing or she is doing, that could be delegated to their staff, which they're frustrated with? Because a lot of times what happens is that physicians will take on doing a lot of administrative things and tasks that happen in the practice that actually, if someone is trained, which takes time, and a job is delegated to, it will go off of their plate and somebody else will be doing it. So making up a list that it doesn't take a DPM degree to do. And then looking through all of those things and what are the really important things that need to be done, and sitting with his frustrated or her frustrated staff and find out what is happening with them. Why are they frustrated with them? What isn't being done? And then get some organization of the top 3-4 things that if they were implemented, whether that takes training, change, whatever it may be, that would move the practice then ahead and would be off of their list and on to staff's list. And for example, my own husband was very frustrated with one of our scribes' chart notes and always having to go in and fix them. And I said, why not train that person better? And so we actually took an hour and a half this week, which was like, oh, we're not seeing patients, and he did a training on scribing and when he's talking, what should they extrapolate? And he was amazed that the rest of the day how well that scribe did just by taking an hour and a half, but the whole staff was learning. And so, yes, it does take time, but if it's done, you get to jump ahead, like Dr. Wishney said.
You know, I've heard so many doctors that say this. I mean, people have said, I'm 44 years old, it wasn't supposed to be this way. And it really does come down to having a very good clarity about what it is you want, because otherwise, you know, how do you know what to focus on? And we'll talk about that very tangentially and send you to a resource that I have for you on that. I'll do that a little bit later. Exactly what these doctors, what Tina and Peter just said, and that is, you got to slow down if you're going to speed up. You have to. We've had that conversation today with people that you can't just wish your staff would do it. You've got to prioritize and then take it down one thing at a time. The Slight Edge. The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson is one of the best books you'll ever read. The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson, and it's small things, but keep going until you get them done and move on to the next one. We'll talk about that a bit more. Now, I want to try the questions thing again, and I do think, from what I can see here, Shashank, that you've actually got that straightened out, so I'm going to try to unmute you. I think I've unmuted you now, so the line's open. Why don't you go ahead and give us your question?
Can you hear me?
Yes, believe it or not, we got it. We worked it out. Way to go.
Wonderful. Well, I have a question, basically. I have a marketer in my practice right now, and I need to know a smartphone app I can use to track the specific employee to see basically, you know, if they're doing what they're supposed to be doing and, you know, how you can keep track of these people. Because I started with the marketer, and I just don't know exactly where they are at all times, what they're doing. So can any of you guys suggest like a smartphone app where they can log where they went in and check in, similar like in Facebook when they check in someplace?
Okay. Peter, I'm gonna give you that one first because I'm 99% sure what you're gonna say.
Okay, so I don't know about an app. I know there's a program called ACT, A-C-T, where your marketer can make a contact list or a list of all the places she visited and what she did when she got there. If you need to periodically want to make sure she actually did that, well, there's really several ways. One, I do everything by the numbers. So if your marketer is out there, and she's out there twice a week all day, and she's visiting these doctors, then you would assume that you're going to get referrals from these doctors, correct? So now, every week, I get a report from her of the number of new patients I've seen this week and where these new patients came from. So I could now take her list and say, well, you know what, she went to Dr. Jones, Dr. Andrews, whatever, just the whole list, and say, are we getting referrals from these doctors? She visited these doctors several times over the last month. Are we getting referrals? And you could check the two. If you're not, there's only two reasons. One, she's not being very efficient when she gets there. Or two, she's really not going there. So if you're really not sure if she's going there, you know, make a phone call to the office manager. Just say, hi, you know, this is Dr. So-and-so, and I just want to know how was the meeting today with my marketer, Jessica. Okay? And that's how I do it. I track everything by numbers. If you do something, there should be a result. If there's no result, then it's not being done efficiently or it's not being done.
Hey, Tina, any insights for Shashank on this?
We have one of our staff members who does part-time marketing for us on the outside. And when he comes back, we've made a list, first of all, where he's going to go, whether it be shoe stores or spas or doctor's offices. And when he comes back, he's usually so excited about the contacts that he's made, that we have to contain him to when we can sit down and listen to what happened at each place. And so he gives us an accounting of, I went here and this is what I talked to, this is what I said, this is what happened, they come back. And he goes through the places that he's been to let us know. Now, in our town, he usually only visits maybe 4 or 5 per half day. He doesn't do extensive marketing to a lot of offices each day, so he is able to do that. But we have found that that's been great. And then people will tell us when they call, you know, that, wow, we really enjoy him. He's very nice. We've had people do lunch and learns with him. So we see the results of him going out. But the biggest one is his face when he comes back in, because he's so excited.
Well, thanks, Tina. And so, Shashank, I want to speak to this, too, because, I mean, first of all, now, if you're, and I know you, and I think there's a, you're looking for a technological solution. So,
how do you know people aren't bullshitting you?
You don't want her bullshitting you? Is that what it is?
How do you know they're not bullshitting you is a thing?
Okay. Well, here's...
What you guys have told me is that it's all basically you believe where they're going, but these reports can all easily be fabricated. There's got to be a technological solution, just like, you know, Uber uses, where they, you know, go their geospatial tracking.
Well, there might be, and if there is and you find it, I'd like to know. But what I will tell you is this is really a management issue at the end of the day, because, you know, every single company that has salespeople, and that's what she basically is performing that kind of a function, has the same question. Are they there, or are they actually, you know, at Starbucks working on words with friends with some of their friends, and they're just knocking it off? And so here's my take on that. Number one, reporting, as Peter said, is very important. And ACT, A-C-T apostrophe, while I don't know if it'll do a GPS function thing for you, is a pretty good program. And I don't know if they have it app-based yet or not, because I haven't looked at it. It's been around forever, but it was really well maintained by that company, Sage, that bought it. So ACT apostrophe is possibly something you might want to look at. But it's really this. It comes down to this. When you have an individual, they should be reporting to you, listen, this is where I was. They should give you the list of where I was and whatever. And it's nice that they can do that with database reporting, which ACT will do, as opposed to a spreadsheet or just a list. So the more elegant you can make this, the better it is. But then it's really simple. If that person's out there and doing their jobs, your referrals will go up. Mm-hmm. I mean, now, they may be out there, and if your referrals aren't going up, they may be going everywhere. They may be doing a bad job of it. So that's a question. One of the best things you can do is a surprise drive-by with them, and basically show up that morning, say, you know, if they're going to, you know, or talk to them the day before and say, where are you headed tomorrow? Can I have that list? And they're like, yeah. And say, okay, good. Tell you what, I'm going to go with you. And then when you walk into those offices, if they aren't recognized or they aren't known or it's awkward or there's a problem, you'll know in one day whether or not they're shining you on or whether it's accurate or not. Is that helpful?
Yeah, no, that's interesting.
And drug reps do that, actually. You know, you have drug reps, and occasionally you'll get the supervisor that comes in with their drug rep or any other rep. Yeah, occasionally that happens.
Yeah, but generally they verify by signatures.
Sorry, say it again.
With drug reps, they're
verified by... He's on a cell phone.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's breaking up.
Hello?
Okay. Yeah, one more chance there, and then we're going to move on.
No worries. So drug reps, their whereabouts are verified by signatures.
Ah,
oh, that too. But the supervisors occasionally come with them to just for because for training purposes as well.
But see, I have a distributed company. I'm going to mute your line now, Shawshank. I've got a distributed company all over the country. I mean, I only have one person that lives near me, and I never sit around and worry about it. I mean, to get into a position where you're frustrated about, you know, are they doing what they're supposed to do because I can't see them do it. And I know that's hard for the doctors because, you know, you're used to seeing, you know what your MAs are doing, you know what your receptionist is doing it because you can hear them, you can see them. But this is harder. And so it really comes down to results, good reporting, and then some spot checking. I think that's probably the best way to go. But if you do come up with some kind of a GPS thing, you know, the only problem with that is, again, then you're in the position of verifying or policing someone, and you need to be in a position with a mature individual who you really trust that they're doing what they're doing. So I hope that helps. Now, I want to jump back into there were a bunch of other questions about marketing, and I want to come back, as I promised I would, and take care of about 20 questions with a little bit of content here. And so, Peter and Tina, please feel free to just jump in. But as I said, you know, if there's four places that your patients can come to you from for marketing, then there's four places that you would actually do your marketing. That's on the internet or the web, in shoe leather or referral marketing, internal marketing or external marketing. And you know, I developed these back in 2008 and haven't had any reason to consider changing it ever. And so, as I said before, the number one asset in your practice, other than you and your well-trained staff, is your list. But I want to show you something for a minute that might be rather revealing. So we've got the four pillars up at the top, but they're all designed to go into what I call your practice marketing funnel. Now, we're going to show you in a minute how to use that funnel, but I want to show you the value of the funnel first. So in order to do that, we need to talk about what is a patient worth to you when they come to see you. So when a new patient comes to your practice, how much do you believe revenue does that produce for your practice in that first year? So a new patient comes in, you treat them, and by the time we're done, now they're better. And they're not coming back on a regular basis in most cases. Let's just say they come in with heel pain or anything else. On the average, what do you believe a new patient coming to your practice every year will produce in terms of revenue for your practice? Now, when I ask that question in live meetings, I'll hear anywhere from, I'll hear people say $1,200, I'll hear them say $2,400, I'll have people say higher, I'll have people say lower. What I want to suggest and ask you is, if it was, I hear like anywhere from $450 to $2,400. Let's go with $450. If a patient comes into your practice and they walk through the door and they're a new patient, in the course of that treatment in that year, they will generate $450 of revenue to the practice. Now, that's on average. Some people a lot more, some people less. But would you think that that is a I'm hoping that you think that's a conservative number. Now, if you don't think that's a conservative number, then use whatever number that you want. If you wanted to make it 150 or 300, don't invalidate what I'm going to show you because you don't agree with my number. Just plug in your own number, and that'll be fine. But I'm going to use $450. So if a patient comes to you that year, and they will generate for your practice $450. Now, I'm going to calculate what I would call the lifetime value of that patient. And so I'm going to be very conservative again and say, here's how I'll calculate that. The lifetime value of that patient is that if they return to your practice once before you die or they die, can we agree that they would be worth to you in the next 30 years another $450, no more, no less, just $450. If you can agree to that, then we will say that the lifetime value of that patient who comes to see you once and then returns one time before you die or they die is $900. So that's the number that we'll use. But now let's look at this a little bit more. What if they refer one more person to you in the next 30 years before you die or they do, and that person comes to see you and then comes back once before? Then that we would add the $900 from that referral to the value of that patient, or basically say that with just one referral, each new patient is worth $1,800 to the practice over the life of your practice. And that's using just $450. So if you can agree with me on that, then we're good. If you can't, then as I said, just use any number that you want, because I mean, they do have a value. What do you think it is? And then use whatever math you want to come up with it. I'm going to go with $1,800. That is, if a patient comes into your office, sees you once, returns one time before you or they die, and they refer just one person, they're worth $1,800 to the practice, lifetime. So that means that if you have 50 new patients this month, at using just that lowest level of $450, that refer once in a lifetime, that those 50 patients are worth to your practice in that month $90,000 worth of revenue over the course of your career. This month, with 50 new patients, you will have generated business, current and future business, of $90,000 to your practice over your lifetime. Now, if that happens every month for this year, or 12 months out of the year, you have 50 patients or 600 come to your practice, the value of that to your practice lifetime is $1,080,000. Now, let's remember, this is the lowest number of $450, and this is very important. They need to return once, and they need to refer once. If they don't, they're just worth $450 and no more. So see, this is how incredibly valuable your relationship is with your list. When I say the most important and valuable thing in your practice is your list, other than you or your well-trained staff, this is what I mean by that. So doesn't it not only just make sense to use your list and market to this funnel, it starts to seem crazy not to. And I want to just say to everybody, this is what separates excellent businesses and practices from those who struggle. This right here. This is the center of the bullseye. This list of people who know you and like you and trust you is extraordinarily valuable. And most podiatry practices, most professional practices, most businesses, believe it or not, don't do anything to work with this. Now, again, let's be clear. These numbers only hold true if they return to the practice and if they refer someone else. If they don't, then the numbers will drop. So that doctor that asked me that question in the beginning, you know, how can I build a practice with a younger demographic so I can do a lot of different things and have people that don't go away in the winter? It's by building this list and then using this list. And the way we build that list is online, by actively pursuing our medical and our non-medical referral sources, by utilizing that list. This actually, the number three, the internal marketing pillar, is this big pillar, this funnel, and then anything you do out in the community externally. That's how you create this. So very quickly, because I want to be careful about our time, when you're marketing on the internet, I want you to look at this and think about this. This is local search, number one. This is the short list. Local search and getting reviews on your local search. That's Google local search, that's Yelp, that's anything that's in your market. You have to take care of that, you have to nurture that, and you have to build that so that you have well-optimized and accurate local search, so you come up correctly and first, and that you've got really good reviews whenever people come in there to see you. And if you have bad reviews now, FYI, the only way to get rid of them is to by burying them under good positive reviews. And there are strategies that can be used to generate great reviews, appropriately. The second thing is you need to have your website. Remember, our doctor has her website, but she needs good search engine optimization, or SEO. and understanding her analytics. That's what I didn't get a chance to see. If I worked with her, we would look at those analytics and we'd figure out what is going on with the website. You need to have a good, healthy blog on there so that we are constantly producing content so that she becomes found for things that people in her demographic who are athletes or parents or whatever it is that she wants to see, that when they're doing their research online, which is what millions of people do, then they're going to find her. And then she needs to be active in social media. It's not enough to have a Facebook page, but she needs to create videos. And I don't mean one or two. I mean multiple and many. If you go to Peter's website, you will see, I don't know, Peter, now it's like hundreds of videos or maybe 100 or 200 videos. You really have put a lot of content up there. You'll find, again, a Facebook page, but one that's engaging and interesting. And, you know, I didn't remember how many likes she actually has on hers, but Peter's, cracking 600 and she cracked 650. You're up somewhere in that ballpark and moving ahead. Yeah. What's that, Peter?
Yeah, it's like 665, something like
that. Yeah, 665.
And what I did this week is I just invited a whole bunch of my friends from my regular Facebook page to like that page. And lo and behold, overnight, I got like 12 people like it.
I know. Yeah, exactly right. It happens all the time. It's just great. And now where it says Google Plus down here, this is really your local search. You know, nobody is on Google Plus or cares. It's a failed social media platform, but it's local search. Twitter, believe it or not, people are all over the place are using Twitter. You should have a Twitter page like Peter does, like Tina does. You should be on LinkedIn, and you should be using Pinterest. Pinterest is a search engine of nothing but images, and for some of our doctors, it's one of their top refers to their website, believe it or not. And that's the list. RSS means tying it all together so that when you post a blog, everything else gets posted as well. It's a pretty good social media linking strategy. And I just want to, again, quickly help that doctor by saying now, but you can do so much more with marketing on the internet. Why not send email messages to your patients? I think you can send as many as one a week, as long as it's not just bunions, shoes. I mean, what's going on in the community? What's happening with the holiday stuff? You know, I mean, there's so many different things you can communicate on. Sending them a newsletter electronically every month. Getting engaged on social media and working with athletes. Like Peter, there he is. Peter's very interested in runners and athletes. And what's he got on his Facebook page? His doctor's hanging out with an Olympian with his shoe store. That's exactly right down the center line what good online marketing looks like. Put time-sensitive content on your website, articles, blogs, celebrity references, videos, frequently asked questions, contests, games. We just had a mastermind call, a marketing call in Top Practices last night. We had 9 offices get on and share like crazy good, outstanding things. And one of the things that they're doing, for instance, I know a lot of the doctors on this call, and I can see you. And what's interesting is, I mean, you have other doctors, so why not go, have a big contest, Dr. So and So and Dr. So and So, see who can get to the most Facebook likes in a particular time, or the most this or that, and then the loser has to make a donation to the food bank, or has to go, work at something like that. I mean, just so many fun things that you can do that are done all of the time. Current events, things that are happening. Pull your entire list to visit all of your web properties. That's how you use the internet in your marketing. And again, just quickly. Social media, or pardon me, pillar number 2, shoe leather marketing. That means that's like what Shawshank was saying. There's a person in his practice that's out making regular visits to those medical and those non-medical referral sources, dropping off information, books that are about particular issues that you've published, that we do that kind of stuff, focused newsletters or information, notes on your patients, all kinds of things, and of course leaving certain kinds of special foods and visits for your sources, because it really, really reinforces that relationship. And this is the kind of thing that you have Jesus out there doing, isn't it, Tina? I mean, he's just having a blast.
That's absolutely correct, yes.
Yeah. And this is a person that worked with you, and he has another role in the practice. You guys have decided that you've scheduled specific times in his week for him to do this. Is that right?
That is correct. He's been with us going on 11 years. He knows the practice inside and out and everything that the doctor does. And people love him. So we thought, we have a charmer right in our office. So we've sent him out to the public. And he also is a runner, and he's gotten involved with all the running shoe stores and does events with them. And it's worked out very well for our practice.
Yeah, and he's either bi or multilingual. I mean, I know he
yes.
speaks Spanish.
He actually speaks Spanish, and he just now got a certificate in sign language.
Yeah, right. Okay, so there it is. I knew it was more than just that.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, and again, we talked about this before, but marketing to your list. Now, not only should you be emailing them, and I do think the frequency is 4 times a month, but you should be sending monthly newsletters in the post, actual paper and ink. It's a lost art, and I know every time I say that, people say, Rem, you know, the 80s called and they want their marketing ideas back. But I'm here to tell you that, I mean, if you're on this call, most likely you're getting my paper newsletter. And I mail thousands out every month because I know it's useful in building that relationship. Your patients, everybody that does it is happy that they did. Special mailings to them, recall campaigns, reactivation campaigns, events. And we had our marketer of the year that just won that, Dr. Jane Grabner in Arlington, Virginia, at our Top Practices Summit this year, is outstanding at patient and community events. I mean, it's almost endless. In fact, when she did her presentation, the one thing that people would actually made the comment, I wonder if they ever have time to actually practice podiatry because they do so much. Now, I mean, she was showing us something they'd done over a period of 4 years, but just tons and tons of ways to build and nurture that relationship. And finally, you want to get out into the community. Health fairs, when done correctly, can be ridiculously useful, or they can be a waste. Working with large employers, sponsorships, if done correctly, are outstanding. Community involvement. That one office, our marketer of the year, actually started her own 5K in conjunction with, I believe, lung cancer. And she has her own 5K that she sponsors. Just those kinds of things begin to build a huge funnel, and we've already talked about how valuable that funnel is. And so that's the point of really excellent marketing. And for my doctor in the beginning and everyone that asked all of those specific questions about a marketing, this is, you know, a really good overview that I could do in an hour to give you a sense for what's going on with that. And again, does anybody have any questions? If you do, just hit the little hand. I'll see it, and I'll unmute your line, and we'll see if that works, and I'm happy to do it. So I'll watch for those, and if they pop up, we'll get them again. But marketing is the highest value use of your time because it allows you to achieve your personal and your professional goals. You know, and Peter, you're an outstanding marketer. You were an outstanding marketer before I met you so many years ago. You know, any I guess, advice to those doctors that are listening to this and they're trying to, you know, figure out, man, that sounds like a lot of stuff, and, you know, I don't understand half of it. Any advice for them?
You have to have, I mean, I've always read and have mentors, and obviously you're my mentor, and be with special groups who have great information that you can work together. Regarding there's a lot of things you can do for your practice, and that's really what the Rainmaker Day is for. And the biggest thing people say is, I don't have time for it, but you don't have to do this yourself. You need someone to help you. If you just went over those numbers that Ren told you, and they are very conservative, if you think about it, and you hire a person to help you with the marketing, or anytime you have something, say, you know, if I did this, I could make X. So then let me find someone who can help me. Again, we always think about, we need to be in control. We need to do everything, and that's not true. You just need to, the people who make money are the people who have the ideas, and then hire the people who do the work.
Thanks, Tina. Thanks so much, Peter. And Tina, how about you? What is your advice?
Well, of course, all of the external marketing with your internet, and getting out there to the public. But one of my big passions, and something that has worked tremendously for our practice and others that I've worked with, is investing in the right staff people. And that means training. That means investing in them personally, where you get to know who they are, letting them know what happens in the practice, raising them up to be leaders, because if they love what they do, your patients are going to know that. And your patients are going to love coming to your practice. And those patients, when they walk in, they want to be emotional. They want to feel what's going to happen here. And if they feel warm and welcomed and that these are people who genuinely care about what they do, they're going to want to come back. And not only are they going to want to come back, they're going to send their family and their friends to come back to your practice. So my number one thing is you've got to have the right staff, and you got to really like your staff and want to invest in them. If you don't, then you need to get rid of those people who you don't like and you can't work with and aren't doing the job, and get the right people in your practice that are going to take you in your practice to the next level. And take them right along with you.
Thanks, Tina. That's great, really great advice. So now I want to give you some resources here. So one thing you can do, folks, is you can come to the Top Practices website. That's www.toppractices.com. And if you'll notice up here, in this bar up here, there's a link that says information. If you click that, then what will happen is you're going to be taken to there'll be a little drop-down menu right here, and it'll say library. Click on that and scroll on down until you see this link right here. There's a lot of stuff there for you that's public, but this is the Top Practices Goal Setting Workshop. If you click on that, it'll bring you to this particular page. And right there, you'll be able to download the Top Practices Goal Worksheets, which are, and folks, those of you that have seen the Goal Worksheets in the past, these are new and wildly improved based on all of the learning that we've done over the last couple of years. And this will guide you through really getting focused, so you know what it is that you need to invest in and what you want to do, because you need to know why and you need to know how much before you ever get started on anything. This is a wonderful activity for you to do in this particular time of the year. And along with that, there are six sessions that you'll see here. These are about 20 minutes long. It's me working through all of those goal worksheets. So I talk about the Deceptively Simple Yet Extremely Powerful Program to Get Organized, how to find what your one thing is that you should be focused on, writing down your goals, and then we talk about action plans. We talk about getting these things done and getting organized. So that's all there. Now, I want you to know that won't be there in January, because it was something I created this summer for everybody that came to the Top Practices Summit in Arlington, Virginia. And you can see right there, by the way, if you want to mark your calendar, our next summit is going to be on October 2, 3, 4 in Denver, Colorado. So just FYI, it's great that that's there already. So that information is going to be there. You can go there now and download all of it and keep it, but it won't be publicly available again till probably, the summit time next year. I'm pulling it back in behind the firewall and working on it. And you'll hear me talking about, there's one there, Peter, down below a little further that talks about how to get ready for the summit. And don't ignore that one, folks, because that's Peter and I trying to prepare people to come to a meeting like that in grand style, so you are going to hit the ground running, and every member of your team is going to learn what they need to learn and report back to you on what they did. And then along the way, it really morphed into how to do an exceptionally good rainmaking activity for your practice. So that's a lot of resources that are there for you if you want them, so I want to make sure you know about it. The other thing that you can do is you can come right here to this section. It's on every page of the website. Why Most Podiatry Marketing Doesn't Work, you can click on that and get that information. Of course, that'll be followed up with more information about the Top Practices Mastermind Group, what's involved and how it works, and all of our virtual marketing directors, just everything that we've done that some of you may not even know about. So I'd like to say thank you to everybody. I mean, everybody stayed on this call. I'm delighted about that. Peter and Tina, I can't thank you enough for spending the time this evening and sharing. It was enormously helpful. Folks, one last shot to ask a question. We're still here and we'll still stay if you want to, by hitting that little button, the little hand, and it'll raise and I'll see it. You can come to toppractices.com. But, you know, I love this quote. The decision to start today is the most important decision of your next 10 years because time moves by so fast. And that's just so true. So, again, Tina, thanks so much. Any final thoughts before we sign off?
You know, like I said, make your list of what you're doing that you should not be doing. And then make those top priorities, 1, 2, 3, 4, of if you could change and what things they would be that would take your practice then to the next level. And then start with number one.
Thank you. Peter, same question for you.
For me, it's just do it. I truly believe just take the time to work on your practice. It is not as big of a task as you think once you tackle it. Focus on the one or two things you really need to do immediately and get those done, and then you can move on to the next two. But we all have so many things you want to do. Just find out the first one mm-hmm. or two things you really need to do.
Well, thanks so much. Listen, everybody, have a really prosperous and wonderful 2015. And